Y'all ready to get into this? Well, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm pumped. I'm stoked. I'm ready. Let's do this. Now, I just want to tell you guys how much I love you guys and how proud I am of you guys, because I think we got a good group of people up in here. I do. I love you guys. I don't know if anybody's told you that today, but somebody needs to tell you that, because you guys are loved and you guys are appreciated and you guys are doing good. You know what I find? I talk to a lot of people, a lot of different people, a lot of a wide variety of people throughout the day and the week and stuff like that. And people go to church, don't go to church. And you know what I find is that people oftentimes, especially if they know who Jesus Christ is, you're doing better than you think you are. Just because you're here, you're alive, and you're breathing. And you know, especially you guys, because you guys are in, of all the places you could be on a Wednesday night, you guys are here. You guys chose to be in church. So you guys not only are in a good place, but you guys are smart, because you know where to find for life. So tonight, we're going to get into the Word. We're going to go to 1 Timothy again. 1 Timothy 4, go through 12, 13, 14, and 15 today in the Word. So let's go ahead and pray and jump into our message about having guts tonight. So Father God, Lord, we thank you. We worship you. We praise you, Father God. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for your Word. God, we thank you because you didn't just give us a book. God, you didn't just give us a to-do list. God, you just didn't give us an instruction manual. But God, you gave us a love letter. God, you gave us a direct line to your heart. So, Father, inside of this book, we pray. God, we need it to be so much more than paper and ink. Father, we need it to be you speaking to us. So, God, we yield ourselves to your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Don't just speak to us, but live within us. Fill us up, overflowing, that we can leave this place and spill out your goodness to all the people around us. So, Father, we just say tonight that we are humbled and we are in need of more of you than ever before. So, God, teach us your ways. Show us who you are and show us who you've created us to be, that we can leave this place changed from the inside out, living the life you created us to live. And Father God, tonight as we pray and as we seek you, God, we don't just pray for ourselves, but God, we pray for each and every other youth ministry in the Inland Empire and around the world, God, regardless of their denomination, Father God, whether they're Episcopalian, Catholic, Methodist, Father, Seventh-day Adventist, Father, if they're talking about you, Jesus, if they're digging into this Word and they're seeking after you, God, God, we pray that you'd bless them just as you've blessed us, because Father, we know that we're all on the same side doing the same thing, getting this world to know about the only name that can solve the problems in their lives, the only name that can give them purpose and hope, the name of Jesus. So Father, we thank you for allowing us to be in partnership with so many great people in this area and around the world. So Father, we praise you, we worship you on you. And everybody in the place said, amen, amen. You know, I'm just so excited to be here. You know, I was talking with one of my youth leaders just in the back during worship, and I was just so excited because, in church, it's a lot of times church can be like the world in a sense, to where it's so segregated, and it's like, you know, the cool kids sit over here, and like the uncool kids sit there, and then the jocks sit over there. But I'm just so excited to have a youth ministry that's so diverse. I mean, from all different ethnicities and backgrounds. I mean, you know, it's just so exciting and so cool to have a youth ministry that has homeschool kids and continuation school kids, and it's got kids who are in regular public school and Christian school. We got kids who are, you know, star athletes, and we have kids who are straight A students. And then we got kids who come from a gang background, but God's rescued them from them. We got kids with more tattoos than my uncle in prison. You know what I'm saying? And we got kids. And it's just so cool. It's just so cool that there's such a diversity in this house. You know, because regardless of where you come from or what you do or what you like to do, you know, God has a plan and a purpose. If you've got air in your lungs and you've got a heart that's beating blood in your body right now, you are a person with purpose. And you're a person who God has an amazing plan in your life. You just got to plug into it. See, tonight we're talking about having guts. Tonight we're talking about having courage. Tonight we're talking about what it takes for you and me as young people. Well, mostly you, me as an old person. But mostly, you know, you guys as young people to take this life and to get the most out of it. You know, to refuse to put up with the status quo. To refuse to put up with the labels that this world has put on you. To refuse to put up with the boundaries and the limits that the world wants to put on you, and to instead live a life of limitless blessing. Now, that's not about getting stuff or, you know, whatever, but that's about living a life that's empowered by God. to do the impossible. So I don't know about you, but I face impossible situations every day, it seems like, to do this or to get this done, this thing coming at me. And I need the ability to do the impossible on a daily basis. And I don't know what problems or situations you face. I don't know what dreams God's put inside of your heart. I don't know if what desires God's put inside of your heart, but sometimes it can seem impossible. And we need to have the guts and the courage to stand up to do that. You see, in 1 Timothy 4, go ahead and give it to me up there. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, we're going to go all the way to verse 15, and it's coming up there, don't worry. It says this in 1 Timothy 4, 12, it says this. Bam! Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You know, it's talking to this young pastor in this crazy city called Ephesus named Timothy. And Timothy, he's, you know, his spiritual father says, don't let anybody look down on you. Don't let anybody treat you like a little boy. Don't let anybody tell you what you can't do, but let God be the one who defines your limits and boundaries. Don't let people put you in a box. Because God wants to blow up your box and show you all the things you can do. He says, be an example to the believers in conduct, the way you live, in love, the way you treat people, in spirit, in the connection you have with God. Let you be an example in faith, what you believe and trust God for, in purity, and in the way you live your life in holiness, dedicated to God. He says, until I come, give attention to reading. That's this. Exhortation, encouraging and being encouraged, and doctrine, knowing the truth instead of the lie. Next one right here. It says, do not neglect the gift that's in you. Get busy doing things for God, which is given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. He was surrounded by people that believed in him, just like you are today. It says, next one right here. It says, meditate on these things. And today is where we're going. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. See, we talked about being an example, about people seeing the mark of Jesus Christ wherever you go, that people look at you and they know, that person knows something that I don't know, and his name is Jesus. We talked last week about having courageous faith, the faith to believe, the faith to believe the impossible, to trust God, to see the impossible happen in your life. It doesn't matter where you were or what you were, but who God's calling you to be. And today we're talking about the only way to happen, the only way to have this happen. You know, the courageous, gutsy kind of life is a life up here that says to give, it's a life that's given entirely to God. So that's a question today. Have you been given entirely to God? Because that's kind of a scary thing. You know what they, I mean, what popular conventional wisdom tells you not to put all your eggs in one basket. As I tell you, don't put all your eggs in one basket. I mean, financial wisdom says diversify, right? You can't put everything into one pot because what if that goes wrong? And here the Bible tells us, he says, Timothy, have courage. Don't let people look down at you. And he says, and then give yourself entirely. Put all your eggs in this one basket. Put all your trust in this one thing. And he goes against this knowledge that we've been taught, our parents, teachers, and even some of our mentors would tell us. And instead he says, put all your trust in this faith. In this way of living. He says, do this. Why? Because you can trust it. See, God wants to use his generation. God wants to use you. God desires to take everything he's put inside of you and bring it out. But it only happens to the degree that you give yourself to God. To do the impossible requires commitment. To get close to God requires a dedication. See, he says, give yourself entirely. Put all your focus. Pedal to the metal. He says, don't hold back anything from these things. You know, it's funny. We're going to go here in a minute. But in Luke 9:23, Jesus is talking to his people. He's talking to his disciples. He says, look, guys, if you guys really want to follow me. I mean, Jesus, he wasn't like this like weak little, oh, I'm Jesus and I love people and teddy bears and puppy dogs. You know, he wasn't like this long-haired hippie that's just kind of like woo-woo and floating on clouds and stuff like that. And just like, I mean, Jesus was hardcore. Jesus, he didn't play games. Jesus, he was tough. And he looked at the people in the eyes and said, follow me. He didn't say, if you want to, it might be a good idea. He didn't say, you know what, I know what we should do. He said, no, follow me. And then he said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, let's go. Jesus said in Luke 9, he said, look, guys, he said, follow me, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and let's get this thing going. Jesus was just straight to the point and said, look, if you want to follow me, if you want to call yourself a Christian, if you want to do this thing, if you want to see these things happen, if you want a taste of what God is really like, if you want to see heaven happen in your life, if you want hell to be kicked out of your future, you should take a commitment. He said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow me. He said to take everything, guys. It's to take everything. Take everything. You know, a couple years ago, I saw this movie called I Am Legend. You guys see the movie I Am Legend? I know, Will Smith, man. Brother starting to get like gray hair and stuff. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, like Will Smith, he'll always be the Fresh Prince to me. But anyway, I don't know. Colton. Anyway, and I saw this movie, and it's like, it's so funny because I watched this movie like 30 times in 1 month. I swear it's like 4 times a day for like 4 weekends straight. That doesn't equal 30, but you know what I'm saying. And I saw this movie, and I would watch this movie, and then I would go home because I watched it at my mother-in-law's house with the family and stuff like that, and I would think, and this movie, I swear this movie's about Jesus. I know, I know you're thinking zombies and vampires and Jesus. Anyway, you watch it again. It's never mind. But there's this guy, right? And apparently the entire world's turned into zombie vampires or something like that, right? And everybody's like dead pretty much, or they're a zombie vampire. Go figure. Even the dogs, weird. So anyway, except he's immune to this disease, this vampire zombie disease, right? And in case you don't know, I'm gonna spoil the ending too. So plug your ears if you don't want to hear it. So he's living underground in his lab trying to figure out a cure because he kind of like started the whole problem. Talk about a bad day, right? His family died and the whole thing went down this way. And all of a sudden he's devoting his life with his dog to find out this cure. And it all kind of comes to that, to a head. It all kind of comes to this huge climactic ending where the zombie vampire things are beating down his doors. They killed his dog. How you gonna kill a brother's dog? I mean, seriously, talk about messed up. Anyway, they killed his dog, and it's him and this woman. They found the cure to the disease with this little kid, and all of a sudden there's like this final showdown. And Will Smith makes these choices. You want to see it? I know, it's crazy. Now, if you're scared of vampire zombies, I know we're in church. They don't exist. All right, and if you do see one, just say in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. It's in the Bible, okay? Not the zombies, but you know what I'm saying. But go and watch this clip real quick. It's pretty, whew, gets me every time. Anyway, go ahead and show it real quick.
What are you doing?
The cure is in her blood. Cole, shoot. You gotta be safe. Ethan, get in.
Come on, get in. Get in.
Ben. I think this is why you're here.
What are you doing?
I'm listening.
Careful, they're just running here. Come.
They're not gonna stop. They're not gonna stop. Stay until dawn.
Will, man, so he hides the lady and the little boy in that little bunker with the vial of the cure, and he blows himself up and lab to save their lives, not just their lives, but all the humans left on Earth from this disease. You see, man had guts. You know, the Bible tells us no greater love is someone to give their life for a friend. And, you know, it's just so funny to look at it that way. And it's, you know, call it grisly or gruesome, but it's true. It's what Jesus did. He had guts to go to that cross. See, Jesus said, I wasn't murdered, but I'm giving my life for you. See, to every day in your life, you need to make this decision. How committed am I? See, Will was committed. He didn't just live every day of his life looking for a cure in this movie. He gave his life to find this cure. He died every day. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, look, it is not going to cut it just going to church. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, he didn't say come and sit in a cushioned chair once, twice a week. Jesus said, pick up your cross, the place of death, and follow me. Every day I'm going to need you to die to the things you want and live to the things that I want. And when you do that, then you'll have life. He said, if you want to follow me, it's going to take a commitment. It's going to take you making a decision, a conscious decision to do my will. So you got to have courage. You got to have the courage to give everything. Because if you really look at it, God's not asking you to do anything he didn't do first. Because see, that cross was first carried by Jesus before he ever asked any one of us to carry it. Before he ever expected any one of us to carry it. So the question today is, how committed are you? How committed, how far, how deep, how wide, how long does your commitment go? Does it go until you meet a guy or a girl? Does it go until, you know, church service is out? Does it go until the times get difficult? Does it go until your friends call you up to ask you to go to some place that you know is just a little shady? How deep, how far, how wide does your commitment go? Have you committed everything or something? It's like going to the doctors and saying, okay, doctor, I just want you to look in my ears, check my throat, but don't check my heartbeat or anything else. It's crazy. You want a doctor to check everything. Make sure you're okay. Well, we do that to Jesus all the time. Jesus, I just want you on my Sundays, on my Wednesdays, but I don't want you the rest of my life. See, things sometimes keep us from giving our everything to Jesus. I mean, Jesus wouldn't tell us these things unless he knew we would face obstacles with it. See, a lot of times we face this fear that it's not really going to work. And it's kind of crazy because it happens all the time. I know I talk to people and they give their heart to God and they say, well, I'm going to try it this time. Or people tell me, I tried being a Christian and it just didn't work. I tried it, but it didn't work. You know, it's not something you try. I mean, you don't try to be a Christian. You is or you ain't. I mean, you're committed or you're not. What did Yoda once say? Do or do not. There is no try. He actually never said that, but anyway, but it sounds pretty good. You know, but it's true. The same thing can be said of your faith in Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of it not working. Because the truth of the matter is it will work. It always works out. Even though it looks like everything's falling down around you, if you hang on to God, if you hang on to Jesus Christ, everything else can fall around you except for you. I mean, what the Bible tells us in Psalms, it says 1,000 can fall to your right and 1,000 can fall to your left. I mean, there's chaos going on, but no plague shall come upon your house. See, God tells us that things will get tough and sketchy, but if you trust in him, you hang on, if you give him your everything, then you have the assurance that he'll watch after you. You know, in the book of Daniel, Daniel 3rd chapter, Daniel and his three friends, they are getting ready to be killed for their faith. They're getting ready to be killed. You know, we shared the story a couple weeks ago about Rachel Scott in Columbine, where the gunmen came up to her at her school. Because she was a Christian, they asked, do you believe in God? They put the gun to her head and waited for her to answer. She said yes, and well, the rest is history. She was killed for her faith. And here Daniel and his three friends, thousands of years ago, in the same spot, they're standing in front of this huge furnace that's heated hotter than it's ever been before. And the king is saying, choose who you're going to follow, God or me. Just make your choice. Because if you don't worship me, then I'm going to throw you in this fire. And here's what Daniel and his friends say. In Daniel, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, all of his friends, they're there, they answer. They say to King Nebuchadnezzar, it says, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in the matter of who we're going to trust. It says, if this is the case that they had to be killed, this is the case, our God whom we serve is well able, he is able to deliver us from this burning furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O King. And then they say something really interesting in verse 18, because everything sounds really hunky-dory. They're like, God's going to rescue us. We're not going to burn. We're not going to die. God's got our back. We're rolling deep with the angels. Ain't no thing we're going to worry about. And then they say verse 18. And it says, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, and we will not worship this image that you've set up. Interesting. It says, but if not, they said, our God can rescue us from this fire. But if for whatever reason he chooses not to, and we die and we burn alive, we still are not going to serve you. See, I heard a story about a man in Australia who was dying of cancer. And the pastor came out to pray for him. And the pastor was really worried because it looked real ugly. And the man sitting in that bed said this. He said, you know what, pastor, you need to pray for me. Because I would much rather die of cancer believing God for healing than be healed of cancer and have no faith in God and live the rest of my life. You see, it's not a matter of whether or not this life works out. Maybe whether your family gets back together or whether you get a Rolex on your 20th birthday. Whether or not your dog that ran away come home. It's not the matter. The matter is that you trust God and that God in the end will work everything out. See, I know bad things happen to people. But Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, you know, God can rescue us. We trust him. But if for whatever reason we burn today, let it be known that we're burning, believing in our God, knowing that in eternity he's going to take care of us. Because it doesn't matter what happens here. We're not going to give up our forever for a couple more measly years on this earth. See, there was no plan B. They had no plan B. See, a commitment says there is no plan B. See, when we're afraid things aren't going to work, we make plan Bs. That's where people get prenuptial agreements. Seriously. Could you imagine waking up every day and married thinking, okay, if we get divorced this year, that girl at the coffee shop, pretty fine. I'm going to ask her out. Could you imagine if you kept your ex-girlfriend's number after your honeymoon? Oh, you'd be in trouble. She get a hold of your phone, you are in trouble, okay? There's no plan B here, guys. There is no plan B. You know, in my life, I don't allow myself to go there and say, well, what if God's not real? What am I going to do if this pastor thing doesn't work out? Could you imagine me planning, okay, I can get a job at Kinko's making photocopies. That'd be pretty good. You know, I don't think these thoughts. Because there is no plan B in my life. It's God, you're real, and I'm going to go to the fire believing you. Because I have no reason not to believe you. There's no backup plan. There is no plan B. There is no safety net. It's sink or swim, guys. I put all my eggs in one basket. And that basket's name is Jesus Christ. And he's never let anybody else down, and he won't let me down. And I'm going to tell you this, he won't let you down either. It's somebody you can trust. You've got to have the guts. Courage. See, people back off. People don't have the courage or the guts. People don't give their everything because they need to be in control sometimes. They're afraid things won't work when it always works out. And sometimes they need to be in control. But the thing is, you need to realize that you can trust God's judgment. See, that's what Daniel and his friends, you know, they didn't need to be in control. They could trust that God would walk with them in the fire if he needed to. And he did. See, they weren't in control. They didn't need to be. That's what surrendered life means, right? You wave the white flag. It means I give up. I can't do anything else. I'm done. I'm not in control anymore. A life given entirely to God is one that gives up control. Because the truth is, you never had control in the first place. And really, what control of your life do you have? I mean, sure, we can choose what you want to wear and who you're going to marry and all these great things. We have a lot of control in our life. But in the big picture, we need to surrender our life to God. So he can lead us and guide us and direct us. You know, it's funny because so often we trust our lives with things that you can't really trust it with. We trust it in our friends' lives, and sometimes they're just not there. We trust our life with our girlfriends or boyfriends. We trust our life with our parents. Sometimes we trust our lives with education, and sometimes sooner or later it's going to fail. And we trust our life with these things. When we should really be trusting our life with God, giving ourselves up to him. You know, in Matthew 13, 44 through 46, Jesus is telling a story about a man who's searching for treasure. He's treasure hunting. And he finds it. It's kind of crazy. In Matthew 13:44, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field that a man found and hid. And for the joy over it, over finding it, he went and he sold all that he has and he bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he found that one pearl of great price, went and sold everything he had and bought it. See, a lot of times we think that we're the man who finds the kingdom of God. But it's really flip. That man is not me and you. That man is Jesus. And that treasure is not God. It's you. You see, this man finds his treasure in a field and he bought it. That pearl, he bought it. That's what the Bible says. Jesus bought us. We didn't buy God. God bought us. And see, if God is willing to trust us with him, why would we not be willing to trust him with us? Isn't that crazy that God would trust us with everything he has? And he does. Us, me and you, we're crazy. We're crazy. Have you seen some of the decisions we've been making lately? Have you seen what we do to puppy dogs? It's horrible. People get thrown in jail for that stuff. Do you see what your small little brother eats? He eats worms. Seriously. Have you seen some of the colors you guys are putting in your hair? You're crazy. And God trusts you and me? I don't even eat breakfast every day. It's the most important meal of the day. And he trusts me. Seriously. And if God can trust me, how come I can't trust him with the things that really matter? The Bible says that this man saw treasure, you and me, and he sold everything. That's what he did on the cross. He sold everything he had to purchase us back from being lost. So why wouldn't I want that man to be in control, that God to be in control of my life? When I'm crazy, when I do stupid things. That's the way we need to live our lives. And lastly, shut it down right now. What keeps people from giving everything is they're afraid. When you need to realize you don't need to be afraid. It'll work out. Because we want to be in control. You can trust what God says. And lastly, is we have this strange reason of trusting and getting attached to things in life. You gotta know, when you give yourself to God, when you give your entirety to God, you're trading up, guys. You're trading up. Trading in the Pinto for the Benz, okay? You're not losing. You're not missing out. People say, oh, well, if I become a Christian, I can't do this and this and this and this. No, 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 no. It's not what you can't do. It's what you get to do. It's how you live life. My life was horrible before I became a Christian. You thought I was boring now? You should have seen me before I became a Christian. I was horrible. I was a really horrible, horrible, horrible person. My life was messed up. And then I gave myself to God. And then all of a sudden, he began to do things in my life that I'd never imagined. And I've gone places I've never thought I would go. I've traded up, guys. Look. When he told that rich man, he said, follow me, deny yourself, take up the cross. In Mark 10:21, just go ahead and put it up there. We'll shut it down right now. We're done. Jesus looked at him, at this man, this rich man. Jesus said, look, if you really want to, if you really want to go to heaven, if you really want to follow me, he says, looked at him, loved him, and said, told him what the truth. He said, one thing you're lacking, man. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. He said, look, guy, you have to be committed. You have to give up your everything. When you give your everything, then you'll know what it means to follow me. He says, take everything you have, and then when you give everything you have, you'll have treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. It means you will have greater things than you'll ever imagined. See, he wanted it, but he didn't want to be committed. See, I know Pastor Jim said last week, we'll close up with this. Pastor Jim said a lot of people, they want to live with God. They want the benefit and the blessing, and they want to be close. They want to feel good and squishy and mushy inside. So everybody wants to live with God, but nobody wants to marry God. Everybody wants to live with God, but nobody wants to marry God. See, Adam and Ashley just got married this last week. That's our audio guy and our lighting girl. They just got married last week, and it was the cutest ceremony and all these things. I know, you should have been there. Look at the pictures on their Facebook. It's so cute. See, they committed. There's no turning back. They're not quitting. They're not giving up. They're not turning around. They're married and they're committed. He said, till death do us part. And she said, you better, sucker. No, I'm just kidding. Ah. No, she didn't. I saw it in her eyes, though. They're committed. You guys, me, Pastor Richard, we got to stop just looking to see what we can get from God and seeing what we can give God. Let's be committed. Let's be committed. If you guys got anything out of God tonight, let's give him a praise. Yeah. All right.